just drinking. Oh, hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to a very, very great day. Glorious Tuesday it is for us. Glorious, glorious Tuesday. Glorious day it is for every one of us. And I believe we're having a fantastic, you know, just beautiful, beautiful day. Praise God. So, have you been? How's it going? Wherever you are, whatever you might be doing. It's a season for very many things, and we believe that during this entire season, you know, we will be able to do as much, you know, as we would need to. Praise God. Glory to God. All right, so that was We Drink It In by Stephanie. Beautiful song. Maybe I'll play it again tomorrow proper. I think so. But let me leave you, you know, a few minutes now with is this not too old, classic Green. Should I play right now? So I'll be like, oh, this song. Yes, this song. Yeah, so it's You Are God Alone by Philip, Dean, and Craig. Praise God. Beautiful song. Enjoy it.
That's what you are.
Hallelujah, praise God. Good song, right? Okay, I'm sure a lot of us might have, you know, missed that very, 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 very wonderful, you know. One of a song we must have all, like, sang it, like, maybe every Sunday, every day, every other day, back some, I mean, a few years ago. Okay, so we're back on the lockdown, just helping everybody understand what to do. And I've been getting feedback, so please feel free to, you know, you could drop your comment or question right on the charts, right here, or get across to me. Let's have feedback, all right? So, for instance, someone asked, you know, yesterday, you know, that, hey, I heard that God seems to hide himself and, you know, makes it a bit difficult, you know, to be found, you know. And also, I mean, if we're talking about waiting on God, how do we wait on someone that is, you know, is playing hide and seek? How do we play on wait on someone who makes it difficult, you know, to be found? How do we wait effectively? How do we deal with temptations, you know, of being weary, distracted, sleep? How do we, and these are very valid stuff, you know, so very valid stuff. How do we wait? We'll touch, maybe I'll make, just mention one or two of that now, but as we go on, the whole week is on this, so as we go on, we'll touch them, you know, so, you know, and the very dear person too was mentioning, you know, how that, sometimes just end up, you know, focusing too much on the fast and on God. When we decide to fast, I mean, you're already having a good time waiting on God. And then suddenly, you want to step it up a notch. And then the fast becomes a focus. And I'm sure we, you know, a whole lot of us might have been there. You know, when suddenly, you know, it's, you know, remember what Jesus said about the Sabbath? You know, how that he said that the Sabbath was created for man and man was not created for the Sabbath. Meaning, you know, sometimes you now get too focused on Sabbath. Sabbath, go and rest, go and rest, go and rest. It was created for you, not you for it. So it's the fact that you need to understand the principle behind the Sabbath. Get some rest. Don't break down. Principle. All right. God, yes, ask them to constitute it and make it, you know, every 7 days, you know, you have to. Yes, it's statutory. But the idea really is not the legalism or legality, but the principle behind it. Same for fasting. I'm sure we've all heard, you know, very many times that fasting does not change God. God is who he is before you fast, when you fast, after you fasted, all right? So the person who would benefit from the fast is you, all right? But you need to ask yourself, okay, so why am I fasting, all right? And I've had, I feel in the body of Christ, we've given this plenty thing, you know, to the fast, you know? So I want to go for a job interview, I'm fasting, you know, almost everything you want to do, you want to fast. And so if should I just say care is not taken? I'm sure you understand how we get to say if care is not taken, the name of Jesus is no longer sufficient. So you pray in the name of Jesus, you say, ah, not good enough, I need to fast. You speak the word, not good enough, I need to add my fasting. So all of that, it has huge benefits. It's mentioned in scripture. So obviously it's beneficial, greatly beneficial, you know. But one of the things, you could fast all because you want to spend time with him, okay, to help you be more sensitive, to push off the usual distractions, not necessarily to receive. Does it help in receiving? Yes, in the point where, in that process of fasting, you are still loading up with the word, so you are shutting down distractions, your carnal activities are dropping, okay? And then you're feeding up. Your spirit is higher. So unbelief at that time is reduced. Faith is stronger, all right? So, but let me not jump too much into that because I'm not teaching on fasting. But, you know, what's leading to this is, you know, that thought of waiting on God. So how do I wait on him? Wait on him is wait. It's, I tell you to be at the bus stop, such a time, I will pick you up. You will be there waiting, all right? You might eat some meat pie while there. You're there. It's the attitude, first of all. It's the attitude, most importantly. If not, we miss the attitude of a waiter, someone waiting for instruction, someone ready to receive, ready to listen. Because eventually, this instruction or revelation you require might show up while you're bathing, while you're driving, when you wake up in the morning, maybe not necessarily while you were praying and worshiping. It happens that way a number of times too, but very many other times not. Because he's in constant communion with you and it could drop it. Just drop it. You know, or you finally just pick it. And then he picked it somewhere in the middle of the highway. Just, wow. So, you know, but it's the positioning. Now, in order to position effectively, for instance, you want to pray for like 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. You obviously would not be eating within those 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. You're concentrated on what you're doing because you're waiting for an answer. You ended up fasting, but it wasn't because you like, okay, so I'm fasting, I'm praying. No, I'm just praying 5 hours. I'm not obviously going to eat throughout that 5 hours because I'm focused on what I'm doing. So it's more of the attitude, not legalism. It's the attitude. And when you know, I need to shut down a little more. I need to drop activity some more because it's not enough to say I didn't eat. It's what exactly did you replace that moment and time with? All right. So I believe that helped, but please don't forget feedback would be helpful. It could and would, you know, be of benefit to other listeners. Some others now say, well, that means I don't even need to fast at all. All right. Jesus said, when you fast. So there's a when. So there's, you should fast. All right. Paul said in fastings often. So you should fast. All right. Whether weekly, monthly, pick a time, pick moments, pick. It could be first 3 days of every month I fast. Last 3 days of however it works with you. All right. But you should set, because it's not just about I want to receive. It's this lockdown. All right. And like I said, there are different ways about it. But the lockdown needs intensity. You might not be fasting, but then you're really not also eating because you're focused on spirituals, on him. That's the lockdown. All right. And then, you know, you're trying to read 3 verses. You've, you know, taken 3 spoons. You're trying to. It breaks the flow of the lockdown. We're not dealing with your normal flow. You now want to have a lockdown. What do you do in the lockdown? How do you handle, you know, the lockdown? So, but I would also pick from God hides himself, you know, makes it difficult. You know, you need to, yes, the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children. You know, the Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a thing and the honor of kings to search out the matter. Yes, I mean, I know that. And Proverbs also tells us, you know, that God has laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. And I like that. He didn't say he laid it up from the righteous, you know, but for. That should be Proverbs 2:7. Okay, let's confirm that quickly. All right, Proverbs 2:7. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. So if it's for the righteous, not from, it means wherever he kept it for you. He now didn't just keep it where anybody could come. Yes, Proverbs 2:7. He laid up sound wisdom for the righteous, the buckler to them who walk uprightly. So the wisdom is laid up for, not from. All right, so you keep something for your kid. You didn't keep it on the floor lying around where anybody could just kick it. So it's precious. You kept it for, not from. You know, so why would God want to play hide and seek? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, don't you know you are the temple of God? So someone moved into you. And before he moved into you, he left, you know, his glory in heaven, became man, went through all sorts of harassment just so you could know him. Now you know him, then he's hiding. No. You know, I don't want to get too much into that. But God wants to be known. God, he gave us 66 books packed in one. All right, so you know him. He came into you. He gave you his spirit. Jesus said in John 16, all right, and verse 12, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot understand them now. However, verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Meaning, I want you to understand these things. I want you to. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself, or whatever he hears, it will speak. He will show you things to come. He wants to be known. He wants to be known. All right? Verse 14 says, he will take of mine and reveal it to you. He wants to be known. All right, and he does have to play hide and seek. So yes, now tell believers you have to, and I know we've all been there. Seek him, you have to seek him, you have to seek him, and the journey looks difficult before it starts, but he lives in you. You don't seek the person inside you. All right, he's not missing, he's not far away anymore. He's in you. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So take a breather. And remind yourself that the person I want to hear from already lives in me. The person I want to hear from already lives in me. All right? 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 John 2:20. 1 John 2:20. All right? 1 John 2:20 says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That's not someone who wants to play hide and seek. That's not somebody who wants to make it very difficult. It's only for the tough-minded, only for the mountain climbers. They are the only ones that can hear from me right now. No, the issue is most times we add so many things. We're encumbered. And then we're distracted. And that's usually what the issue is. So the person, who goes a lot more into seclusion or isolation is more concentrated and more focused. But then, yes, many people might now add a lot more to the seclusion, isolation, and talk about how they went on a 40-day fast or a 30-day fast, or a 21-day fast or a 10-day fast and all of that. But sometimes some of the things we fast for, they are available. You could shut down, lock down. But yes, I understand the place of some people need to push the body under seriously. Okay, it was Kenneth Copeland, he was saying, that he a minister met with him and was talking about the fact that, he wants to go, I think on it, was it 21-day fast? I'm going on a 21-day fast. I want to understand the authority that God has given to us in Christ, something close to that. And the man went and came back and said, I got it. God revealed to me and this, he said this, said that. Copeland said, well, I could have just opened the book of Ephesians and explained all of that to you. I could have, that God had sent all that in his word. Yes, you might now take that book of Ephesians and go on a lockdown with it. So that, just flow more and pray the prayer that, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is flowing freely in you, that you see better, know better. But one thing we really need to do that we don't do a lot of is Philemon and verse 6. Philemon and 6. Philemon and 6 says that the communication of your faith, that the communication of your faith may be effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. We don't spend enough time talking about what we have. We don't spend enough time talking about what we have received. We don't spend enough time doing that. So go to Luke, 10 again, Luke chapter 10, the story of Mary and Martha, Luke 10. And then we'll pick this from, a few verses and then, a few versions. And I believe it will help us, all right? So please be encouraged. So I'll begin from NLT. All right, Luke 10:38 says, and Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, dear Martha, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it and it would not be taken away from her. Wow, isn't this amazing? I said to us that if you look in context, from the first verse of, this same chapter 10 of Luke, he had sent out 70 disciples. They went out, came back and told him, the devils were subject to us in your name. You know, he told them he had given them power, you know, to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He rejoiced in the spirit. So we're not told at which point, you know, the other guys left, you know, leaving with him the 12. We're not told at what point. So did he go to their house with 70 people, like, whoosh? Or did he go to their house with 12 men? And men don't eat one pack of noodles, all right? So NLT here makes it a lot clearer, all right? He went there with his disciples on their way to Jerusalem, all right? Verse 40 says, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was planning. Naturally speaking, who wouldn't be? Okay, so what she was doing wasn't out of place. She needed to provide for the guests. She needed to prepare for the men. You know, but maybe like I heard Kenneth Copeland say a couple of years ago, you know, that, well, maybe, you know, she could have just sat there. If it was beans, she could have just sat there and said, well, Lord, I was there when you fed 5,000 with, you know, 5,000 men with, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish. So, yeah, I think I'll sit here too and just allow the beans cook itself right now. You know, so this particular guest is a miracle working guest. So, but naturally speaking, her response wasn't out of place. Jesus had been invited to dinner by very many people, and this might not be her first time of hosting him. So, hey, they've had a good time just, you know, having a great time. But suddenly, I'm still going to read this tomorrow. Suddenly, she reacts, and amazingly, Jesus didn't say, well, it's true, girl, get up and go help your sister, huh? Jesus was pointing at value system. So he's saying, this is good, but this, at this point, is taking you away from this. So what could that be? So that's why I'm saying the lockdown is at that point where you realize things are taking me away. So even if it's 1 hour, give the 1 hour. If it's 30 minutes, give the 30 minutes. Lock down the 30 minutes. All right? You know, because sometimes you want to pray 2-3 hours and you're like, I've not been able to, I mean, you've not been praying for the 5 minutes, but you might not even have a value for the 5 minutes you have. 5 minutes is too small. There's not, no, a lot happens in 5 minutes, a whole lot. So when you're able to have your 30 minutes, imagine how many 5 minutes you have in 30. When you're able to have your 1 hour, imagine how many 5 minutes you have in your 1 hour. When you're able to have 3 hours, imagine how many 5 minutes you have in 3 hours, because you're able to cherish the 5 minutes. You're able to cherish the 5 minutes. So verse 30, verse 40 and 41 in a couple of verses in the Bible. So NLT again says, but the Lord said to her, dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. NIV, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, and indeed only one. Mary has chosen which is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The God's Word translation. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you worry and fuss about a lot of things. There's only one thing you need. Mary has made the right choice, and the thing will not be taken away from her. Message translation. The Master said, Martha, dear Martha, you are fussing far too much and getting yourself worked up over nothing. One thing only is essential, and Mary has found it. It's the main course and won't be taken from her. The CEV, the Lord said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen what is best, and it will not be taken away from her. The Amplified, AMP, no AMPC, AMP. But the Lord replied to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered and anxious about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen a good part which will not be taken away from her. Good part that is to her advantage. Good part that is to, you know, her own advantage. Let me read the Passion Translation. The Lord answered, Martha, my beloved Martha, why are you upset and troubled, pulled away by all these many distractions? Are they really that important? Mary has discovered one thing most important by choosing to sit at my feet. She is undistracted. And I won't take this privilege away from her. She is undistracted. And I won't take this privilege away from her. So as we end this morning's broadcast, let's have that in mind. She is undistracted. And I won't take this privilege. The Lord wants us to have focused moments with Him. We've got 24 hours of every day. He gave us a 24. He gave us a 24 hours of every day. All He needs from us is that ample time, that time. And he you could give it without the distraction. Without the distraction. Without the distraction. You could give it without the distraction. Glory to God. Without the distraction. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Without the distraction. You are focus. 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 Just as the day starts, pick that time. Maybe now, maybe after now. Just look through. When can I do my 30 minutes? When can I do my 45? When can I do my 30 here, my 30 there, my 20 here? When? Look through your day without the distraction. That steal away moment, that lockdown. Okay, maybe the 2 hours, maybe the three. In prayer, it could be meditation. It could be just taking some moments to speak in tongues. But that moment, that moment. Glory to God. That moment, without the distraction, without the distraction, Mary has chosen that and she is undistracted. Praise God. I believe this was helpful. We'll meet again tomorrow to look through your day and then look through your week and then look through your month and say, okay, I'm learning this and I need to create those moments of waiting and those moments of lockdown. Praise God. Have a very beautiful day.
Wide-eyed and mystified, may we be just like a child, staring at the beauty of our